Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app. This is WTIC's Law Talk, a project of the Hartford County Bar Association. If you have a legal question, call now, 860-522-WTIC or 800-966-WTIC. And now, it's time for Law Talk on WTIC News Talk 1080 and WTIC.com.
Yes, it is. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Law Talk. I am Attorney John Matulis from the Hartford County Bar Association. Glad to have you with us this afternoon. We are here Saturdays, noon until 1. You need to look at this as your legal interactive toolbox. We take your calls, we dispense legal advice, legal information, and we love it if you've got a legal question, a legal call, a legal comment. Non-political, please, so we can discuss it on the air. So how do you do that? Well, you call us at 860-522-WTIC, 1-800-966-WTIC. And if it's easier with numbers than letters, that's 860-522-9842. And guess what? 1-800-966-9842 also. We're here until 1 o'clock. We've got a bunch of different topics to talk about, every single one of them carefully curated to have something that you can take away, something that will be helpful to you, somebody that you know. So we invite you to stay with us. If you've got a friend that you think may be interested in a particular topic we're discussing, tell them to listen. And if they'd like to give us a call, delighted to hear from them also. Let me give you a little bit of an idea of what we expect to cover today, okay? First of all, we're going to venture into the world of dog law, and there is a whole series of legal actions involving the town of Suffield, a pit bull named Dexter, and his owners, Mr. and Ms. Hornish. So we're going to focus a little bit on that, and we're going to use that as a platform to discuss something about injunctions. Okay, everybody's heard about injunctions. Everybody runs to court. They're trying to get an injunction to prevent somebody from doing something. Well, the flip side of that is that there is a thing called a mandatory injunction, and it's completely different. And this is where you're asking the court to enter an order that somebody do something rather than refrain from doing something. So we'll talk a little bit about that. We'll tell you the difference, and we'll tell you how that may be helpful for you to know. Next up, after that, we're going to revisit one of the topics that we believe is one of the most helpful for our listening audience, home improvements, home improvement contractors, the law governing same, and we're going to use as a discussion a case that was decided, got the decision in December from the New Haven Superior Court. It involves a home improvement contractor that decided he was going to bully the poor property owner and did so in court, and we'll see exactly what happened, and there is a good outcome to this little morality play. Coming up after that, in addition to any calls that we may be able to handle and help you out in that way, we're going to venture into the topic of real estate, and it's something that we're going to visit calling a life use. This is also going to be the platform for one of the new features that we've been doing, a feature called You Be the Judge. So if we've got any likely volunteers that are willing, we're happy to give you the facts on the air. You can tell us your decision on the air. If not, we're going to turn to the Honorable Anthony Dorenzo, producer extraordinaire. He's a producer to the stars here at the radio station, but on Saturdays they make him deal with us. So in order to help him get over that shame, we're going to give him the title of the Honorable Anthony Dorenzo, and he's going to be the judge. Oh, I think I hear some disagreement in the background. And after that, if we still have time, we'll touch on some law. And when the statute says shall, does it always mean shall or does it sometimes mean may? Why is that important? Well, we'll be happy to tell you all about that. But in the meantime, just want to remind you, this program is yours. We're delighted to hear from you, and we want to know how best we can answer your particular legal question, or if you've got a particular topic that you want to hear a little bit more about, given the limitations of what we can do over the air in a short program like this, we'll be happy to try to oblige. Again, the phone number is 860-522-9842, 1-800-966-WTIC. First up, Chris in New Britain. Hi, Chris. You're on Law Talk.
Hi. Good morning.
Good afternoon. Tell me how we can help you, Chris.
Good afternoon. I'm sorry.
No problem. Tell us how we can help you.
Okay. I was prescribed ranitidine, which is the generic Zantac, for over 4 years. And then, I don't know if your listeners know, they banned it because it was causing intestinal cancer. Now, I'm dealing with that as we speak. Is there any kind of compensation I get for my family in case they lose me?
So let me give you sort of a generic answer, okay? There are, at any given time, a lot of different pharmaceutical class action lawsuits. And they're brought by lawyers who specialize in this, and they sue a particular drug company or several drug companies that may have manufactured different versions of the same drug. So the way that this would be handled most efficiently would be to, first of all, to find out if there are such claims already pending concerning ranitidine, and secondly, to hook you up with those attorneys. This is not something where you're going to go to your local attorney and say, you know, help me out with this, because these are extremely expensive and difficult cases. But if you're representing 150 or 275 individuals, it's an awful lot easier to handle them. Now, what we'll do, and I'll mention this to you, if you're at all comfortable on the internet, what you want to do is Google attorneys handling ranitidine cases and see what comes up. And that's the way that you would start off. Many of them are going to be out of state. That probably doesn't matter too much because these drugs are typically distributed nationally and often internationally also. Some of these attorneys are much more adept at this kind of work than others. But that's the way that you would start off. And of course, if you do have an attorney, ask your attorney to help you, because the attorney can help to filter out people that have extensive experience handling these cases from those that are basically just going to try to sign you up and then turn you on to someone else so they get a chunk of the fee that's eventually earned. So that would be my two pieces of advice, Chris. Number one, if you do have an attorney, speak to him or her and say, help me to find someone to represent me on this ranitidine claim, who knows what they're doing and has some good credentials. And number two, talk to them about signing up. These are typically handled on a contingent fee basis. You typically do not have to pay anything. And when there's a recovery or a settlement, the fee that's been agreed upon is typically taken out of your share of the recovery. So, Chris, I hope that's helpful.
Very much.
I'm sorry to hear about your difficulty, and I hope that you get some relief for that. And please call us on a future show and let us know how that worked out, okay?
Thank you very much for your help.
Best of luck to you, Chris. Take care now. All right, we're going to have to take a break. You're listening to Law Talk on WTIC News Talk 1080. I'm Attorney John Matulis from the Hartford County Bar Association, and we're here up until 1 o'clock. Delighted to hear from you and see if we can't help you out like we did with Chris. We are at 860-522-9842, 1-800-966-WTIC, and you've got more of Law Talk right after this.
And now, back to Law Talk on WTIC, News Talk 1080.
Okay, welcome back to Law Talk. I am Attorney John Matulis, and we've got a bunch of different things we're going to be going over in the hour that we have, which is partly gone, but we are here until 1 o'clock. Once again, just to let you know, This program is designed for you, and that means you need to let us know topics that you're interested in, legal issues with which we can help you. You do that by phoning us at 860-522-WTIC, 1-800-966-9842. Doing so gets you a bonus. The bonus is you get to talk to Anthony DiRenzo, star producer here. So if for no other reason than that, it's a good idea, give us a call. Okay, back to what we were talking about. I mentioned we're going to use a topic from dog law as a springboard to discuss injunctions. And this grows out of an absolutely horrific set of circumstances in Suffield. And a couple had a dog named Dexter. Dexter is a bulldog. Excuse me, he is not a bulldog. He is a pit bull, okay? Had the word bull, but had it in there backwards. Ms. Hornish's mother lived with them. She was elderly. She had an elderly friend, a colleague of hers, who was coming to visit with the elderly mother that was living. Long story short is that Dexter, the pit bull, tried to attack the aide that was accompanying the visitor. She slammed the door, thereby locking him in and protecting herself. But the guest was already inside on her walker. Dexter turned, mauled the visitor, and unfortunately, she succumbed pretty promptly to the injuries. So there's a whole slew of litigation and other problems that have resulted. We're going to touch on just a couple of them. This thing is tragic on several different levels. First of all, the animal control officer in Suffield took the dog into custody, which is proper, issued an order to euthanize the animal, which is within his authority. The owners promptly appealed that decision to the commissioner of the Connecticut Department of Agriculture. That is a proper procedure. It is well established. It's run under the rules of the Administrative Procedures Act. There was a full hearing. The commissioner affirmed the decision of the animal control officer to euthanize the dog. Now, Dexter is not on the scene. Suffield does not have a dog pound. There's a law that says towns that don't have dog pounds are entitled to provide for the dogs by utilizing the services of private veterinary hospitals. So Dexter is locked up in a private vet hospital, and it's not exactly hard labor from what I understand, although it turns out that the Hornishes had been feeding him steak and he wasn't being fed quite as well in lockup. But the animal control officer visited him every single day, exercised him, wanted to socialize him, and so on. So now the Commissioner of Agriculture, his ruling affirming the euthanasia order gets appealed to the Superior Court. According to the decision, there's a meeting, a town meeting for the town of Suffield, garden variety everyday meeting. They're going to discuss the proposed town budget. Animal control officer is going to get a raise. Ms. Hornish, who is apparently somewhat politically active, sees him, confronts him, says that the only reason you're getting a raise is because you're trying to kill our dog, and if this town council lineup changes, your job is toast. So he reports this to the town council. They are quite upset that an employee doing a good job has to undergo threats about his job. So they decide that they're going to terminate visitation with Dexter while these appeals are coming. Mr. and Ms. Hornish are no longer permitted to visit Dexter. So what happens is Mr. Hornish files an action in the Superior Court for a mandatory injunction. And that's what brings us to the difference between mandatory injunctions and what are called the more traditional kind that you're familiar with, prohibitory injunctions. That's a $10 rule that basically says we're going to prohibit, so we're asking you to prohibit someone or something from doing something. So what is the difference? Okay. First of all, they're asking that the court enter an order that Dexter be returned to them to be cared for, or in the alternative that they both be given liberal visitation with Dexter. And so the judge had a lengthy hearing on this matter, issued a decision, and he talked a little bit about mandatory injunctions versus prohibitory injunctions. So just so you know, mandatory injunctions according to the judge, must meet very stringent standards, okay? A prohibitory injunction, simply an order that maintains the status quo by preventing a party from doing something, okay? Mandatory injunction commands a party to perform some affirmative act. It's an extraordinary remedy, and it's only to be granted under compelling circumstances. And he talks about some of the Supreme Court decisions that say that it is disfavored, it's to be used with caution. And why is it so difficult, and why is it disfavored? Well, it says that they're drastic remedies. They may place the trial court in the undesirable position of having to monitor, construe, and police the party's private conduct, relationships, and contractual dealings on an ongoing basis. So that's the story. And what happened with this request for the mandatory injunction? Well, Judge Budzik went through the facts. He also relied heavily upon the decision of the Commissioner of Agriculture, pointed out the fact that the Hornishes did not appear to accept much responsibility for this horrific experience where a person who's coming to visit the mother or the mother-in-law who's living with them ends up being mauled by the dog. The judge quotes the fact that Dexter killed a woman that these folks originally thought, well, maybe she died from some other cause because of her age, or she just come from the doctor's earlier that day. And there's a graphic description of the injuries inflicted upon her by Dexter. But the judge finally concludes that he has to balance the equities. He has to balance the possible harm that would result from granting the mandatory injunction versus any risk that it might hold for the community in general. And the judge says, Dexter is staying exactly where he is. The judge says he has grave reservations about their ability to care for him in a manner that would keep other animals and other individuals safe. So Dexter stays locked up. The point of the whole story is mandatory injunction to get somebody to do something difficult to get. Court's got to do this balancing exercise. Now, that music in the background is a cue to me from Anthony, that it is time to wrap up this segment so that we can get to the news. Coming back on the backside of the news, we're going to do You Be the Judge. We've got a real estate matter, and we welcome your calls, your inquiries at 860-522-WTIC, 1-800-966-9842. I'm Attorney John Matulis from the Hartford County Bar Association. This is Law Talk.
And now, back to Law Talk on WTIC, News Talk 1080.
Yes, indeed. Welcome back to the second half hour of Law Talk on a sunny and frigid Saturday afternoon. I'm Attorney John Matulis from the Hartford County Bar Association, and you are listening to Law Talk, your local interactive legal toolbox. You got a question for us? Happy to put you on the air, discuss it. In allowing us to do so, you're letting us help others, and that's part of our mission here at Law Talk. Phone numbers to do so, 860-522-WTIC, 1-800-966-9842. Okay, before we get back to the programming, including our next session of You Be the Judge, we're going to talk just a little bit about how, if you don't have an attorney, you can get some high-quality legal advice for next to nothing and possibly even for nothing. How do you do that, they said? Well, here's how, he answered. First of all, the Hartford County Bar Association has operated for many, many years now a not-for-profit lawyer referral service. Lawyers in private practice who are experienced get vetted as far as their insurance, as far as freedom from disciplinary issues, and you get a referral to one of them. So here's how it works. You phone the service at the phone number that I'm going to give you shortly, so get your pencils out. They'll ask you a couple of questions to determine the nature of your legal issue. You then get referred to an attorney who practices in the proper discipline to help you, okay? And that attorney has already been vetted. He or she is experienced experienced in the right discipline. They are insured. They are free from disciplinary problems. You get a half-hour consult with that attorney. There's no further obligation whatsoever. There's no hard sell at the end of it. If, however, further legal services are requested, you and the attorney are free to discuss that. If you reach an agreement to work together, that's up to the two of you. If not, so be it. All right, so you're wondering, all right, what does all this cost me? Well, here's the good news. There's a one-time only modest fee of $35 for this half-hour consult. And that fee goes to pay for some of the cost of rent, telephones, staff time to operate this public service. Now, there's a little bit more to it, so bear with me. If you're calling about your personal injury case, they will waive the fee. If you're calling about your Social Security disability matter, they will waive the fee. If you are calling about your workers' compensation claim, same thing. So this is a great way to get high-quality legal help. And if you organize your materials real well, you can get a very high-quality, large quantity of help in the space of the half hour, even if you don't end up doing anything further. So here's how you access the service. You phone them in Hartford. The number is 860-525-6052. That's 860-525-6052. It is the Hartford County Bar Association's not-for-profit lawyer referral service. It is a very good program. And if you happen to be listening on the internet and you're far removed from Hartford County, if you want to get in touch with a similar service, call them up. This is built on a model that the American Bar Association created. There are many similar services all over the country. And I have personal knowledge. They have referred people inquiring to similar services in Florida and Texas and North Carolina and California. So they can help you out. If you're listening, they can help you find a service close to you. That's the Hartford County Bar Association's Lawyer Referral Service at 860-525-6052. Give it a try. I think that you'll find you're going to have a much better result than picking somebody up from a billboard or from talking to the person on the bar stool next to you at your local favorite watering hole. That said, let's get back to the phones. Paul in Middlebury, you're on Law Talk. Tell us how we can help you.
Hi, good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. In May of 2020, when COVID was a terrible thing, although it still is, I had chest pain, and I called my primary care and told them, and the office was closed, and so the nurse who talked to me said, I'll get back to you. They called me back and said, the doctor thinks it's reflux. Go to the drugstore, pick up the reflux medication, and start taking it, and I did, and then days later, I had a severe heart attack.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, Paul.
Well, I lived.
And I'm glad to hear that, Paul.
Yeah. And so I talked to a friend, and they said I should sue my doctor because they didn't tell me to go to the emergency room. They didn't say come in immediately. And so I got a law firm, and they got my medical records and looked at it and said I didn't have a case because I was a smoker. And that wasn't. I know that, and I know smoking is bad for you, but my point was that I didn't felt that my doctor took good care of me, that she should have told me to go to the emergency room immediately, or she should have said come in immediately, or anything. They just brushed it off as reflux.
I understand.
So
go ahead.
Do I have a case?
Okay, well, first of all, this is a medical malpractice issue, and the fashion in which medical malpractice cases have to be pursued has been developed pretty much to a high art as a result of many, many struggles at the legislature between the lawyers who represent patients and the industry, the physicians, the healthcare professionals, the hospitals, and so on. So step number one is before anybody can file a lawsuit for medical malpractice, They have to obtain a written opinion from what is referred to as a like provider. And that means that if the target physician, in your case, a primary care provider, probably an internal medicine doctor, your lawyers have to obtain a written opinion from a similar physician. There's a couple of exceptions. You can use medical school professors and so on under certain circumstances. But that person has to review all of your medical records. They have to review the facts. They have to offer an opinion that it's their professional opinion there was medical negligence. In this case, that would take the form of some claim that, given what the doctor knew or should have known about you, that saying it was reflux was not what the reasonably prudent physician in the same circumstance would have done. So that's called establishing a departure from the standard of care. That's step number one. Step number two is you have to establish what's called causation. That means that someone's got to offer an opinion, and this is another expert opinion, that the departure from the standard of care was a substantial factor in what happened. In other words, but for their negligence, the doctor's negligence, this would not have happened to you, or it would not have been as severe, or something like that. So those are daunting challenges, Paul. And I've given you a very, very objective, almost like a clinical description of it. This is true for every single case. Your case, I think, in order to pursue a claim against your doctor, would have to go through the same steps. You hire lawyers. They have to gather up all of the records. The records have to be reviewed by a similar physician, a like practitioner, who's got to offer those opinions. And short of that, the lawyers can't even file a complaint in court against the provider because it gets dismissed. So I hope that helps you a little. It should have some ring of familiarity if the lawyers that you engaged to look into this did their job the way that it's expected to be done.
So I believe they did. They pulled all my records. They got an expert witness to read everything through, and they basically said I didn't have a case because I was a smoker.
I see.
So would it help if I went to another law firm, or would I get the same answer?
It depends on whether they use an expert who reached a different conclusion, whether or not the expert looked at different facts, gave more or less weight to some of the facts considered by the previous expert. So I can't really tell you whether it would be helpful or not. You have the right to do that. You have to be aware of time limits, though, okay? You've got a 2-year time limit from the time when the malpractice occurred or from when you first became aware of the claim, with a maximum period of 3 years. So that's the critical thing you have to keep in mind, Paul.
Okay.
Okay. I hope that's helpful. And if you do decide to pursue it, give us a call on a future show and let us know what direction this is taking. Okay.
All right.
Very good. Thanks for the call. Take care now. All right. Medical malpractice. Time to do another show on that in the future. And I will keep that in mind. We've done those in the past. Right now, however, we're told that it's time to take a break. When we get back from the break, we're going to do You Be the Judge, and our guest judge today is going to be the Honorable Anthony Dorenzo. I'm Attorney John Matulis. This is Law Talk, and we're back with You Be the Judge after this.
And now, back to Law Talk on WTIC News Talk 1080.
All right, bumping us back in, a little bit of help from Mick and the boys there. I'm Attorney John Matulis from the Hartford County Bar Association, and it is time for us to play the much-awaited You Be the Judge, okay? Our honorary judge today is the Honorable Anthony Dorenzo. As mentioned, he's a producer to the stars here at WTIC, and then they stick him with us on the weekends. So in order to make up with it, we give him the title. He's got the black robe on, and he is going to tell us what he thinks should happen in this case. Judge, are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so this is the situation, and this involves real estate. We're going to talk about a life use. Now, when a person has a life use in property, what's usually happened is that somebody has transferred the title of the property out of their name to someone else, oftentimes one of their children, but they've retained a life use. And that means the person who's giving up the property has retained the life, the right, nonetheless, to continue to live there. And with that comes certain obligations. So that's the backdrop against which we are going to play You Be the Judge today. This is our fact pattern, okay? Mama is a widow, and she lives in the family home by herself. It's got a modest home in East Hartford, single family home. And by the way, this is a real case, but you're not going to hear any names or any other identifiers. Mama does some estate planning with a lawyer, and as part of that, she decides she is going to transfer the title to the family home to daughter. But Mama still lives there. She's going to retain a life use. That means that for as long as she lives, she is entitled to stay in that house. However, she does have obligations for the utilities, the taxes, maintenance, etc. As time goes on, Mama's health deteriorates. It becomes more and more difficult to stay at home. She ends up vacating the home. She's living with her son, not daughter, but son, okay? And the house starts to deteriorate. Mama's health deteriorates even further, and she's now in her 90s. Well, daughter is getting concerned. The taxes were unpaid. There was some other problems, and she's very upset that what is technically her house and will be her house free and clear once Mama passes away is deteriorating. Mama has very little funds left. Her care is very expensive, and she's not in a position to do anything. Well, daughter sues Mama. And she says, wait a minute, as the holder of a life use, you had the right to live there. You chose not to for reasons best known to yourself. I don't care, it was your health. And on top of that, you didn't keep the place up. It's deteriorated. It's damaged. The taxes weren't paid. So daughter sues Mama. Okay, that is our fact pattern at this point. And daughter is looking for Mama to pay her the difference in value between the condition the place is in at this time and the condition that it was in at the time that Mama gave her this house. So, Judge, do you have all the facts?
Yes.
Okay. Are you ready to rule?
I think so.
Don't rule yet. You're ready to rule. Okay. Do you have any questions for me before you have to rule?
Is there anything that the daughter did past when it was given to her that would be, I guess, is that too in-depth of a question? Like, did she contribute to what she's claiming?
No, excellent question. For our purposes, daughter contributed nothing except anxiety about whether or not this free gift of hers was going to lose value because somebody else wasn't paying for its maintenance and its upkeep. Okay?
Gotcha.
Okay, so here is the question. This is the lawsuit. It's ungrateful daughter versus generous mom who is now in seriously declining health and has very little money. And daughter says, give me the amount of money that represents the difference in value between this place and its deteriorated condition and what it would have been worth if you had maintained it properly. So what is the judge? Do we rule in favor of daughter or do we rule in favor of mama?
I'm going to go with my gut, but I'm ruling in favor with the mother.
Okay, so Judge Anthony says judgment for the defendant, Mama is going to win. Do we get that right, Judge?
That is correct.
Okay, so here comes the actual answer, okay? The actual answer is based on a statute. And for those of you keeping score at home, it's 52-563 of the general statutes captioned liability for waste by tenant for life. And it basically says that anyone who has a life use is expressly liable to the owner of the property for any damages that occur during the time of their life usage. So without more, Judge Anthony would be incorrect that, believe it or not, Mama would be held liable. So what do we think of that, Judge? Oh, okay. So now let's explain a little bit more about this case, because I don't think there's a soul out there that would disagree with the statement this is an unjust outcome. Let's give you a little bit more information, okay? While this place was vacant, probably wasn't heated sufficiently, a pipe burst. There was flooding. It wasn't attended to. And then there was a lot of mold, okay? And this is why the lawsuit is actually still pending. Well, amazingly enough, there was insurance. Amazingly enough, they hired a crew to go in and clean up the mold. They also discovered other problems with the floors from the damage, from the electrical system. And almost $100,000 has been spent with a brand new floor, new kitchen, upgraded wiring, with the end result that this joint is now in substantially better condition than it ever was at the time that Mama, in her generosity, gave it to ungrateful daughter. So let's try this again, now with those additional facts and understanding that you're functioning in the equity court here. You can do things to do it right. Once again, judgment for ungrateful daughter or judgment in favor of generous mama?
I would go with the ungrateful daughter, I guess, now. This is, you framed it in a way.
That's right.
That made me feel I should have went against it, but.
Okay, so here's the takeaway on this issue. And those that are listening, hopefully you'll see why it is that we do this. First of all, Anthony did not have the full set of facts. And we did that deliberately. Why do we do that deliberately? To make him get the wrong decision? No, not at all. The reason is that I think that a lot of us going through our lives have a tendency to reach judgments, form impressions without having the full set of facts. So, Anthony, you did what probably any one of us would have done in that case, and that's just the point here. The takeaway, don't reach a decision until you've got all the facts. Now, the second point here is that because of this tremendous windfall, the damage to the place having been even worse because of the water that caused the mold, and then the insurance company coming in and basically fixing it and even repairing it to a point that it was much better than it was before, daughter has a tremendous windfall. This house is in way better shape than it would have been if Mama had been able to and did maintain it properly the way it was. So how does that factor into the case? Well, guess what? In this case, which is still pending, Mama's attorneys have a counterclaim saying that not only do we not owe you the money for the difference between its value, but you're getting a property that's worth even more, and therefore you owe us that money. So that is what's going on. This is a live case. Therefore, we're not mentioning any names or where it is pending, but it is before the Superior Court. And at some point, I think the parties will come to their senses and there may be some kind of a peaceful resolution of the matter. In this case, Mama is probably unlikely to ever return to the home. Therefore, why would she need a life use? She's not physically able to live at home anymore. And so, therefore, the life use is of no value to her. She could technically transfer it to someone else, but then it's a life use for only as long as Mama lives. And then it's a life use for another life. And when that other life dies, that's it. So you end up with a situation where when the tempers die down and the parties look at their options and decide what's going to make the most sense, maybe Mama will release the life use and daughter will give her a release, and each of them will live the remainder of their lives, however long or short that may be. So, Judge Anthony, based on that overview of it, any comments from the bench before we go into sort of a wrap-up mode here for Law Talk for today?
I don't know. I apologize for making judgments before I knew what the entire case entailed.
No, Anthony, no apology necessary whatsoever. You were given only part of the facts for the express purpose of making the point that a lot of us reach judgments or conclusions based on something less than the full facts. So no apology whatsoever necessary. Now, we've got a couple of other topics. We're not going to get to them today because we've only got a moment or two left. So let me just talk about what we'll do with these next week, okay? One of them has to do with a home improvement contractor who basically got into a beef with a homeowner and decided he was going to muscle her by suing her in small claims court. So we're going to visit that next week, and the end result of that is going to be a morality lesson, not only for home improvement contractors, but it's also going to be some very, very practical advice and information for homeowners dealing with them. So there will be significant takeaways for both. In addition, we've got some additional materials, and we may get a little bit into the St. Francis versus Hartford Hospital massive federal lawsuit that was filed. But in the meantime, it's time for me to say thank you all for listening. Thank you to our listeners who called and allowed us to help them on the air. Thank you very much to Judge Anthony DiRenzo, our producer. He is the one who gets the credit if any of this made sense. I'm Attorney John Matulis. See you next week.
Law Talk is presented as a public service by the Hartford County Bar Association. Its content is intended to be educational and informative, but is not considered to be formal legal opinion. If you want or need a formal legal opinion upon which to rely in decision-making, please consider formally engaging an attorney to review all relevant facts in detail and examine the pertinent law as it applies to those facts. A solid opinion means better decisions. The views expressed during this program are those of the speakers and not necessarily those of the Hartford County Bar Association, its officers, or its directors. Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.